Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. For this Thursday, we thought we would do our open line today, so lines are filled, actually. They're not open, but they will be open during the course of this hour. We do this once a month to get suggestions from you of programs you'd like to have on the air between the hours of 9 and 11, and we get great suggestions from you. We always do, but we thought we would do it very publicly once a month, and so it goes, and so here it is. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Chrissy Pease is answering phone calls this morning, so say hello, and we'll get you on the air just as soon as we can. And with that intro, let us go to phone calls, because our lines are jammed. Babette from Milwaukee. Hi, Babette.
Hi. I was thinking it would be nice to hear something about our neighbors to the south in Honduras. They've just had their former president, who was ousted in a coup, return to their country, get a big welcome from his countrymen, and Honduras was just accepted back into the OAS. And so they're going through a lot of challenges, and it would be interesting to hear something about that.
All right.
I would be glad to suggest some people, maybe, I don't know, off to you.
All right, do you have access to a computer?
Sure.
Okay, why don't I give you all of our email addresses, and I'll do that right off the top, and then you can just send it to us.
That would be fine.
Okay, great, thank you. And if you don't mind doing a triple email, then when we get together, we can all talk about your ideas. I'll give this to you at the beginning and the end of the show. It's Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G. Mine is Dunn K. Chrissy's is P-E-A-S-E, and we're all at WPR.org. So if you can send that to us. If you can't call in today and you have an idea, you can use that. And you can use it today or tomorrow or whenever you feel like it. Jennifer in Waukesha is next. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Kathleen. I love your show.
Thanks.
I just thought it would be great if we could have some more programming on the increasing incidence of autism in our society. We're at 1 in 100. There's a recent study coming out of, I think it's South Korea, that's suggesting 1 in 35 boys are 3 times more likely to be affected than girls. I think it would be great if we could have some more discussion on this. I think epidemiologically, I don't think we have a condition that's affecting more of our children these days than autism. And I just think it would be great to have some discussion.
All right, Jennifer. Good idea. Thank you.
You bet.
Our number, 800-486-8655. Couple lines open now. Geraldine in Menasha. Hi.
Hi. I would like to see the concept of free markets discussed as they allegedly function today, and what the overall effect would be of globalized free markets. It's presented as a positive thing. However, today there are many instances in which that particular situation has a lot of subsidies connected with it from governments and things of that sort, and they're still called free markets. I'd like to have some experts attack that particular subject.
All right, Geraldine. Thank you.
Thank you.
George in Cedarburg. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to have somebody have a discussion about the mega power line that essentially is supposed to enter Wisconsin and Alma, Wisconsin, and go to Madison. It's projected to be in two segments. The first segment is owned by XL primarily, and Darylin Power, that would be 50 miles to go to sort of a town called Holman, just north of La Crosse. And then American Transmission Company, who actually just had a press release today that's been on the news, wants to go the remaining 150 miles to north Dane County after that. And this is going to be a big project that's well over $500 million total. And these towers for this power line are going to be 150 to 170 feet tall, which is taller than the Statue of Liberty, and it will cut a swath through the landscape of a right-of-way of 150 feet wide. And it's going to go through some really environmentally sensitive and protected areas, that sort of thing. And thus far, they haven't articulated exactly. I mean, the later the project goes, the more possible routes it could take. The one that's called CapEx 2020 that goes from Alma to La Crosse, basically, is a little bit further along than the American Transmission Company. So this is going to be a big impact thing for the region, I mean, for whether health impacts to costs that we're going to have to bear. And I think that it would be important for people to know about it way ahead of time and whether we actually need it. I'm sort of reticent to mention any names over there who could speak against it, but there is a Carol Overland, who's a lawyer that from Red Wing, Minnesota, that's been heavily involved in this. So, and there are other people, too, but if you want a list of names, I could probably send them to you.
All right, George, why don't you do that?
All right, thanks
All right,
a lot.
Thanks. Thanks for the call. Yeah. Boyd in Milwaukee. Hi, Boyd.
Good morning, Kathleen. I have four guests, possibly. I'll try and make it quick so I can get to other calls. The first one is by an Italian academic. His name is Domenico, D-O-M-E-N-I-C-O, Losurdo, L-O-S-U-R-D-O. His book is Liberalism, A Counter History. The
okay.
next one, let me know when you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
Jeffrey Dunn, that's G-E-O-F-F-E-R-Y, Dunn. Yeah, I think you can spell that.
Right.
his book is The Lies of Sarah Palin.
Okay.
And then David Wengro, that's W-E-N-G-R-O-W, What Makes Civilization.
Okay.
And finally, Matt, might be pronouncing it wrong, Taibbi, that's...
Oh, yeah.
Beg your pardon?
Yeah, we know Matt.
Oh, okay. Griftopia?
Yes, he was on for that. That's really a very interesting book.
Okay, I'll check it out then. Sounds great. All right, well, I'll let you go. You can go on with other callers.
You got a big summer reading list.
Yes, very much.
All right, thanks, Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
Don from Warren, Illinois. Hi, Don.
Hi. I've read that there is an eminent nuclear scientist working at Madison. I thought it'd be interesting to have him on and have him explain his take on all these countries bailing out of the nuclear power situation.
Okay, do you know his name?
I'm sorry, I do not. I read it in Discover magazine, but I'm sure a little sniffing around had come up with it.
Yeah. Germany's decision is interesting. That'd be an interesting show for us. All right, Don.
Thank you.
We'll do a little sniffing around and see what we find. Our lines are pretty much open. So join us if you'd like. It's an open line for the month of June. We're asking you to join us with suggestions of programs. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. And we're asking specifically for suggestions for the hours between 9 and 11. And we do listen to what you have to say. And if you suggest something, many of you will know that it does eventually find its way to the air, many of your suggestions. Beverly in Mequon. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Nice to speak with you.
And you as well, Beverly.
I'm interested, along with a lot of people lately, in the idea of Wisconsin having a death with dignity.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that Oregon has now and Washington has voted in, that you can actually buy the drug needed to end your life, and you do it at home. And it's something that a lot of people I've talked to are very interested in the topic. I'd just like to see you do something on that sometime.
What states have this, Oregon and what?
Pardon me?
What was the other state, Oregon?
Oregon and Washington now have it, I believe. It's on an HBO show I watched last night, and they showed people actually deciding to make that decision. Most of them were very ill, and they wanted to die at their own time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very moving. And I've talked to so many people who really would like to have that in the state of Wisconsin. So
okay.
I'd be interested in that.
I was watching CBS News last night, and they did a report on a number of hospitals that are showing videos of patients who are in end of life and looking at the various treatment options, and many people who have been diagnosed as terminally ill have changed their form of treatment as a result of seeing how invasive some of the procedures are. And it was a pretty dramatic piece. I thought, well, this is something new.
You know, Kathleen, it's very difficult to watch it. And I cried through it.
But,
you know, I guess I respect a person's right to make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd like to have you do something where you explore that, and maybe someone from Oregon, and talk about how they do it. And I'd like to know how you introduce a bill like that in mm-hmm. the state of Wisconsin.
Okay. It would be a very interesting show. No doubt about it.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Thanks, Beverly.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Carol in Middleton. Hi, Carol.
Good morning. I'd be very interested in having someone come on from the legislature, the Republicans, to talk about how they can justify taking first closing the the checkoff for political contributions or two for public financing of political elections, and using that money now to pay for instituting the voter ID bill. I think that it would be interesting to see if people who have checked that off for years with the idea that it went to public elections and now it's going to go to pay for voter ID.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know who it would be. It would be nice to hear the governor talk about it, but I don't think that would happen.
Well, we can certainly try. Thank you, Carol.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. We were talking about voter ID before we went on the air this morning and thinking that it would be an interesting show to look at. It's been controversial, certainly, in Wisconsin, but to look at the very deep history of voter ID in this country. So we're planning on doing a program on the history of voting sometime soon. Rob in Onalaska. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
Yes, my suggestion for a show was to investigate the status of the labor complaint submitted by the AFL-CIO together with about four or five Guatemalan trade unions. The North American Free Trade Agreement was largely criticized for having labor provisions that were toothless. The Central American Free Trade Agreement supposedly had stronger labor provisions. The complaint was submitted under the towards the end of the Bush administration and criticized heavily by organized labor in the U.S. and in Guatemala and Central America when it was felt that the Bush administration gave the Guatemalan government a pass on the complaint, and to check and see whether the experience or the enforcement has been more rigorous under the Obama administration. The complaint involved at least two assassinations of trade union leaders, and progressives in the U.S. and in Central America used the Central America example and the Guatemala complaint in particular to oppose the Colombia trade agreement, where the argument is that what's happened in Guatemala will happen in Colombia. The 3 or 4 years prior to the Central American Free Trade Agreement being enacted, the number of assassinations of trade union leaders and crimes against trade union leaders plummeted. And then almost immediately thereafter, the passage of Central American Free Trade Agreement, we saw a big spike in the assassination and violence toward trade union leaders and workers that tried to organize or exercise their freedom of association rights. And it would be interesting to see what the status of the complaint is.
All right, Rob. Thank you. Thanks for the suggestion. Jim in Kewaunee. Hi.
Hello. I have a good suggestion for a program. I would like to see you have a Republican and a Democrat from our state legislator in Madison that works with the health of people in Wisconsin and Medicaid and these programs, because July 1st, the transportation system for medical assistance for all people in wheelchairs disabled that have to go to a doctor appointments, people in nursing homes, is going to be outsourced to a company called Logisticare out of Georgia, out of the state of Georgia. And I think if you would get these people on and question them, the logistics of why they did this, why would they take it away from the counties, which would have the best control over the people in their county, and put it to a company out of the state from Georgia called Logisticare. I think it's called, Logisticare Solutions, LLC. And I think a show on this, what they're going to do to the disabled people in this state and for a profit corporation from out of state, is going to be just a big mess. And we're already causing many, many problems for people in the state of Wisconsin with this revamping of the whole Medicaid system in our state. And I think you would have a good show right there.
All right, Jim, we'll look into that.
Okay.
It does sound interesting. Thank you very much for your call. Open line for the month of June this hour, 800-486-8655 is our number. One line is open. If you'd like it, it's yours. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program this Thursday, the American Players Theater has a new season getting underway this weekend, 8 plays. We're going to be speaking with the Associate Artistic Director to get an overview of the summer performances, and then we'll be joined by the director of The Taming of the Shrew, one of the plays that will be performed, and the actress who is playing Kate. So that's coming up hour two. Jerry in Appleton, hi.
Hi. My suggestion would be to get Dr. Larry Larkin, or Lankin, I believe it's Lankin actually, from Michigan Technological University on. And he's an expert in the Keweenaw Peninsula, and I had the opportunity to take a history of the Keweenaw course, and it was extremely fascinating. He's written several books. He just came out with a book about a year ago, a new one. And he explores everything from every piece of machinery and how that affected workers' lives to unions in the area. And there's actually quite a bit of violence in the Keweenaw, I was surprised to hear, to who showed up drunk at the local bar and what happened to them. He's extremely knowledgeable and very excited about the topic, and I think that'd be a great show.
All right. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. LaVon in Madison. Hi.
Hi. I would like, if you would do a show on how to get health care for Alzheimer's and dementia patients who are suffering from delusions and just from really a scary mental health situation. I just recently went through a real huge struggle with my mom, and I could not get her care in a legitimate way. I had memory care units who couldn't take her because she was too potentially violent. The place she was at needed her out because they weren't able to care for her. I could not get her into a mental health ward, at least not the right one, because she wasn't dangerous enough for some people. And I was just, it was just an absolute nightmare. I went to Stoughton Hospital. They have a geriatric psych ward. And I just begged them to take her, and I was hysterical, and they told me to bring her back the next day, so it worked out for me, but it was not a legitimate way to do it, and it was horrible, and I don't think anybody should have to go through that. I just wish there was a way to get help for these people who are suffering from horrible delusions. Apparently, there were recently some laws passed to protect the rights of Alzheimer's patients from being institutionalized, but now there's nowhere to put them when they're suffering. And a good person to talk to would be a Dr. Robbins from the Stoughton Geriatric Psych Ward. I don't know that he'd have time to talk to you because he's a very busy man, but he's an angel. He helped my mom. She just was discharged, and she's so much better, and now she's in memory care, and all is well. But it was not an easy task to accomplish.
And memory care is what, a special facility that's designed for people with Alzheimer's?
Yes, it's basically an assisted living.
I see.
But with specially trained staff to take care of Alzheimer's patients. And what happened with her, she was just in a normal assisted living, and she was fine. But she had a medical issue and a change in her medication, and it was like they dumped over the apple cart. It was just so, it was horrible. She had gone, so in other words, she slipped. So she went from being, you know, just memory issues and needing help with eating and medicine to having these really, I mean, frightening delusions where she thought people were hurting her all the time. She would get out, and they'd bring her back in, and she would hit them. And we were even told by some people that we should just let her go, call the police, and let the police arrest her in order to get her into the, you know, the geriatric psych ward at Stoughton. And I just thought that was insanity. I couldn't, I didn't want to let that happen. You know, I just wanted to be taken care of.
Yeah, I'm surprised that somebody at a memory care facility wouldn't be able to handle this and know that maybe medications were causing the problem, et cetera.
Well, the problem is they have been through this before with other patients, and they have the same struggle to get them in. Apparently, when they get out of balance like that, they need really constant medical attention in a hospital, and that's what's difficult to get because of these new... There was some court hearing where they decided they needed to protect some civics group or rights group needed to protect the rights of an Alzheimer's patient, so they didn't want them to be able to be committed. But this is a short-term thing. They can fix. I know you can't cure Alzheimer's, but you can totally treat these symptoms with the right antipsychotic meds. And that's also controversial because it increases the risk of death, I think, maybe from heart attack.
Right.
But I have to tell you, what would you rather do, have an increased risk from death of a heart attack or constantly think people are hurting you? It's hard for me to describe how awful it was. I mean, and it's violent stuff that she
thought. Oh, I'm sure it was awful. Right. Oh, I'm sure it was awful. All right, this obviously is an area that affects so many people dealing with Alzheimer's, and we'll look into it.
Oh, thank you.
All right, thanks very much for the call.
Mm-hmm.
Mike in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Mike.
You worked in the Milwaukee media for a while, right?
Oh, about 36 years.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I knew that, but I just wanted to confirm it. Are you familiar with a guy named Paul Weyrich?
Yeah,
W-E-Y-R-I-C-H.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't he a broadcaster in Racine and then came up? Was it TMJ I think you might have worked for?
Not when I was there. I don't recall that name from when I was there.
Okay. Well, anyway, he was, after he left a broadcast, they said that he was responsible for getting Ronald Reagan elected. And he's also responsible for a manual that was printed just before the Bush administration. It was called The Integration of Theory and Practice, a Program for the New Traditionalist Movement. And, you know, I had always suspected with the callers that would call up and instead of addressing the topic that you might be covering, they would say that you were liberal and that you were liberal slanted and you had nothing but liberal guests. And it got to be such a pattern that I thought there was something going on. Well, this book or booklet by Paul and the author that they both worked on it together is very, very interesting. And if you were to read this, you can go... you can check it out on Wikipedia, but you can also there's an author who at the website theocracywatch.org. Her name is Catherine Eureka.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with the author?
Mm-mm. No, I'm not.
You're not? Okay. Well, she wrote an article about it, but she's written articles, and she's an author of several books, I believe. But this is dated 2004, the one that she wrote about the program for a new traditionalist movement. But anyway, if you would want to just read that and check it out and see, I think it's worth having a guest on, and maybe Catherine Eureka to discuss this, because if you read this and you look at what's going on in politics today with the Republicans and that, I think a lot of Republicans, if they saw this, they would and were to realize how they were being used and manipulated, they might be somewhat they might think that they should reconsider their position.
All right, Mike. Thanks very much. We will look into this. Thank you. Mark in Mineral Point. Hello.
Yeah, hello. I have two suggestions. The first one is the phenomenon that we're really seeing a lot this election cycle for the 2012 presidential race, and that is fake campaigns. And it would be really good to have somebody on, and I'll try to email a couple of suggestions for speakers on this or guests. But I think we saw it with Donald Trump, and you know, the idea is that the people, they say, oh yeah, I'm considering a run, but actually they're trying to promote their book sales and other, you know, speaking engagements and other, you know, lucrative projects they have. My second suggestion is something written by Lawrence Britt, and it's known as the 14 characteristics of fascism. And this was written a few years ago, but I think the two things that are most interesting about it are the diversity of characteristics. And this was based on a study of fascist regimes over about a 60-year period, starting with Mussolini, going up through the Pinochet regime in Chile. And the other thing that's interesting is that Lawrence Britt was an insider, a high-up insider in the corporate world, and so he had kind of a first and look at how corporations fit into fascism.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Bill in Sun Prairie. Hi.
Hi. Very good program. I have two suggestions, both of which I've had some experience with that help your program, and I think they would engender a tremendous response from your listeners. First is the use of alternative methods to treat health problems. Have your callers call in and discuss how they have successfully treated themselves using alternatives, which I feel offer a tremendous way to reduce the costs of health care. The second idea is government waste, fraud, abuse, inefficiency. I think this would bring a lot of callers in, too. Years ago, U.S. Senator William Proxmire had the Golden Fleece Award, which was both entertaining and informative. And we've all had experiences. I just recently completed a book and filed for a copyright at the Copyright Office of the U.S. government. And they told me it would be a year before I heard back. And here we are in this age of computers, and these bureaucracies take this long to do things. Anyway, that's my two ideas.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Nice to hear from you. Greg in Eau Claire. Hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of suggestions. I was wondering if you can find somebody, I guess a politician, either from the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, as to why none of them have signed on to the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. It's part of the United Nations thing, and that would be an interesting show to find out why. It's called CEDAW. That's, you know, the short thing of it. Also, I would suggest a somebody by the name of Kevin Bales, who has done a lot of research in human trafficking and human slavery and across the world and in the United States. And I think he would be a very important guy to be on to find out the state and the condition of that problem. And that's about it.
That's about it. Thanks, Greg.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. Marty in Elkhorn. Hi, Marty.
Good morning. I want to thank you for having this show. What a superb topic. I am wondering, and this may have come out, and maybe I'm in the dark on it, but all this derivative correlation, bank issue, et cetera, I don't recall hearing any of these banking executives that have been put under fire or had their feet put to the fire in regards to this. So no committees investigating, et cetera, et cetera. And a little sideline to this, there's a property next door to us that is foreclosed. And once a month, a van pulls up and a guy walks around and he takes photos of the house And my wife confronted him one day in chatting with him, and she says, what's going on? He says, well, we're just taking photos to make sure that, you know, no squatters, you know, move into the house. And my wife says, well, you know, we might want to buy this property. And the guy's like, oh no, the bank's not selling us. They're not selling anything. They're sitting on this. And maybe I'm paranoid, but I'm wondering if, in fact, some of these bankers did get their feet put to the fire, is this not a card they're holding in their back pocket saying, oh, well, you're gonna bring us up for questioning? Well, we're going to unload all these foreclosed homes that we've been hanging onto the market, and that's going to tank the economy. I would love to hear something about that.
All right, the aftermath of all of that. That's a good idea. Thanks, Marty.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. Barbara in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm calling to make a suggestion for a program that would consider the effect of the expansion of the voucher program on public education.
Okay.
I think it's a major concern for our state, and I think there are plenty of people, perhaps including Dr. Thornton, the superintendent of public schools in Milwaukee.
Yeah, we were just talking about him yesterday. We did do a show on this a couple of weeks ago, but it's certainly worth another program. But just so you know, it's in our archives in case you want to hear that particular program. It was two wildly different viewpoints on this, but Dr. Thornton would be a good person for us to have on. We'll try and book him in the not-too-distant future. Thank you, Barbara. Larry in White Hull. Sorry, Larry. Hi.
Hi, good morning. There's tremendous pressure on the American public, mostly from the media, to buy into the Iran and nuclear bomb in the future and so on. And in the last New Yorker, Seymour Hersh has an article called Iran and the Bomb, where he questions the unassailable notion that perhaps Iran really doesn't want a nuclear bomb, at least anymore. So I wondered if you're going to have him on.
Well, we haven't had him on in the longest time. That would be a good idea.
Good. I'll wait for that.
All right. Thanks, Larry.
Sure.
Bye. Bye. Pat in Milwaukee. Hi, Pat.
Yeah. I'd like to have a program focusing on the policies of the Fed under the guidance of the Obama administration, specifically in regards to the qualitative easing 1 and 2, which virtually pumped another $600 billion each time into the economy, and how that's resulted in inflation, weaker dollar, higher gas prices, and this whole idea of what I think is more the perversion of Keynesian economics versus stimulus, and how it is that we're still dragging through a jobless recovery and, you know, a prolonged recession, and maybe it's time to look at some of these policies and see if they've really worked or not.
All right. Thanks, Pat. Dan is next in Duluth. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Dan.
I'm just calling to suggest maybe a regular hour on the environment as often as you could fit one in. There's so many issues out there that come up from time to time, but it seems like they get put on the back burner. And just last week, WPR aired a couple hours that I caught on Gulf of Mexico and the continuing repercussions from the oil spill last year. And these issues just kind of, they catch the attention of, you know, the public for a little while, but they fade quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I think the environment is neglected currently by our government, corporations, big oil, and mining interests seem to have their way at every turn, and I just would like to suggest that you set aside an hour as often as possible to bring in someone to speak on an environmental issue, whichever, you know, you can find someone to talk on.
All right, Dan, thank you.
Thanks.
Tom in Rhinelander. Hi.
Morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Tom.
I would like to suggest that you have a program or more, actually, on the plight of boys in the United States. But we've, you know, the research is absolutely clear that it's boys that are failing, but that there's nothing, that we don't do anything about it. We don't take any action. You know, we'll have a Newsweek article 1 week, you know, years ago, and it just disappears. Boys are failing in schools. They're going to colleges in lesser numbers. They're not getting employment. And then there are all the issues of what should a boy really be, most often defined apparently by women rather than what boys really are. And I think you could really pay some attention to that.
All right, Tom. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mary in Eau Claire, hi.
Hi. I'd like to recommend a book called The Family by Jeff Charlotte. I don't know if you've heard of it. Anyways, it's about the influence of fundamentalism in Congress and how there's a group who meets regularly. They call themselves the Believers for prayer breakfasts and how the influence that they wield.
Okay. Yeah, we've talked about that issue. It was some time ago. Is it a recent book?
The book? Let me look at the copyright. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Okay, I can't find the copyright date.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. It was a long time ago we talked about this issue. It was a fascinating show. It was a journalist who had done... it was somebody who had gone into the family himself, became a member of it, and then wrote about it.
That's the book.
That is the book. Okay, we have done the show, but it might be nice to do an update on it. It's been a long, long time since we did that show.
Yeah, I just this is a secondary issue. I'd like to see, you know, the issue of fundamentalism and the Tea Party, maybe just analyzing how they're influencing each other.
Okay. Thanks, Mary.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Open line for June is what's going on this hour. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. One line is open for you if you'd like to take it right now. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, the second hour of our program, the American Players Theater 2011 season starts June 4 and runs through October 16. We'll be speaking with one of the directors of one of the Shakespearean plays, The Taming of the Shrew, and the actress who plays Kate. And we'll also be speaking with the artistic director about the whole season and the history of this theater, which is... it's been around for quite a long time now. I remember doing an interview many, many years ago with the founders of American Players Theater. It was just getting started, and it's still going, and that's great. More phone calls for our open line. Lynn in Lake Forest, Illinois. Hello.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for taking my
call. Sure, Lynn.
I'm calling about a book I just read about. I haven't seen the book even. It was listed in the Chicago Tribune. Because the author is speaking at the Pritzker Military Library in Chicago. The book is about the War of 1812, and I'll read the title of it because that really intrigued me. The Civil War of 1812, American citizens, British subjects, Irish rebels, and Indian allies. Sounds like there's something for everyone. by Alan Taylor, and that's A-L-A-N, capital T-A-Y-L-O-R.
Okay.
And he says it calls a Pulitzer Prize-winning historian, Alan Taylor, and he gives presentations at the Pritzker Military Library in Chicago various authors of different books having to do with military history, obviously. But it just sounded like this sounds like the kind of the forgotten war of the 19th century. In our country.
We are on the case. This sounds great.
Okay.
All right. I'm not sure if we have the book or not. Do we have this book? No. Yes, we'll do a show. I guarantee.
Thank you.
All right, Lynn. Thanks very much for the call. We should know more about the War of 1812, don't you think? Barb in Milwaukee. Hello.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Barb.
I want to suggest a guest named Patricia Randolph. She is... from Portage, Wisconsin. She's been speaking and fighting on behalf of Wisconsin Wildlife for many years. And she now has a column in the Cap Times Online. So you can look for her column. It's called Mad Raven Speak.
It's called, pardon?
Mad Raven Speak.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good.
And she talks about threats to Wisconsin wildlife and giving a voice to the non-hunting public in Wisconsin.
All right.
Since we have the Wisconsin Conservation Congress that pretty much represents the hunting and fishing public.
Okay. Good. She sounds like an interesting guest.
She's very knowledgeable.
Thank you, Barb.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye.
John in Mequonico. Hi.
Good morning. I would love to hear a program pertaining to religion being so unfactual, tooth fairyistic, and how it has permeated the fabric of states.
Do you have a guest in mind for this?
No guest in mind. It baffles me how that has such precedence in how we elect people, and it's just belief. There's nothing factual about it, and yet state and politics are so factual. I would love to hear commentary on that.
All right, John. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian in Fond du Lac. Hi.
Hey, how are you doing, Kathleen?
Fine, Brian.
Nice talking to you this morning. Currently, there is a large project that's working itself into being a test case for abolishing any sort of environmental regulation. It's a pebble mine in Bristol Bay, Alaska. The pebble mine is situated, supposedly going to be situated on the headwaters for several of the major rivers flowing into Bristol Bay, which, for those people that don't know, furnishes much of the seafood and both commercial and sport fishery for the United States. This mine is currently, because of some of the Alaskan regulations put through by a former governor, a female governor, going to be a case where it's a test case to see if environmental regulation can be abolished successfully. As you know, gold and copper mining put cyanides, all sorts of heavy metals and other sorts of nasty stuff in water supplies. It could destroy the entire Bristol Bay Basin, and there are many, many people ranging from fishing and non-fishing public, people who are concerned basically about the physical health of people in Alaska and elsewhere, and the diminishment, if not elimination, of commercial fishing in areas and the availability of seafood for United States consumption.
All right, Brian.
Interesting topic.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for your call. Kathy in Green Bay. Hi.
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 I'd like to hear a show on personal responsibility and the influence that we can have on the world around us. For instance, we can buy locally. We can gather our trips so that we don't use as much fuel. We can stop blaming everybody for the world and seeing what we can do about it ourselves, because each one of us can have an impact. But I think there's too much blame. And when you point a finger at somebody else, there are three pointing back at you.
All right. So you're specifically interested in what an individual can do to, on a daily basis, to take care of the earth.
Absolutely.
All right.
And influence even the things that we think are too big for us to influence.
All right, Kathy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Scott in Madison. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? I was calling about, as you're probably aware, Madison is hosting the Congress of the New Urbanism this week.
Oh.
And I thought it would be interesting to have a program talking about the new urbanism. Specifically, there's your former mayor, John Norquist,
mm-hmm.
who is the president of the CNU, and he came here and spoke last year. He had a very interesting discussion. Also, the person I went and listened to yesterday is Dan Burden, director of Walkable and Livable Communities Institute, and his talk focused around how cities and towns can make relatively simple and inexpensive changes to the road systems to increase property values and create a greater sense of place.
Okay. Is there a website that we can go to that might have a list of the people who are at the conference that we can do it down the road a piece?
Yes, there is.
All right. And what might that be, Scott?
Okay. I'm at the Congress for New Urbanism.
Okay.
And the website is www.cnu.org.
CNU.org. Easy as can be. All right. Thanks, Scott. Sounds good.
Bye.
Bye. Luann in Green Bay. Hi.
Hi. I'm a Jane Austen fan, and I just finished a novel, a nonfiction by, I believe his name is William Derslervich. One doesn't know how to pronounce that. But it's called A Jane Austen Education, How Six Novels Taught Me Everything That's Important About Life.
Hmm.
And he's got basically six chapters where he goes through each of the books. He's a PhD professor, I believe, from Yale. And when he was doing his dissertation, he was talking about how he felt that all literature had to be momentous and Joycean and Hemingway and that sort of thing. And then he discovered Jane Austen how absolutely spectacular she was. And I just finished it. The book is lovely.
Sounds
and
like
if he's a good speaker, I think he might be a lot of fun.
I think so, too. Thank you, Luann.
Sure.
Bye.
Bye.
Gloria in Waukesha. Hi.
Hi. When the tsunami hit Japan, the water was so black. And usually when you see water for something like that, it's much lighter in color. And I was just wondering why it was so black.
Okay. Well, I don't know the answer to that, but...
Well, I didn't think you would.
No. But it would be an interesting show to look at the aftermath of the tsunami and the Japanese economy and nuclear power, et cetera. We should do that at some point. Thank you, Gloria. Aaron in Wonder Lake. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
All right. How are you?
Good. My idea is the history and the effects on mankind of cannabis and how it has evolved, you know, throughout history, since, you know, it has been around since as long as we can tell. It's been one of the four most influential plants, along with potatoes and tulips, and I forgot what the other one was. So just to kind of talk about, you know, all the interesting details that I'm sure a lot of people aren't aware of. Unfortunately, I don't have someone who would be an expert in the field in mind to point to your producers, you know, to try to find some information on that. But I think it would be really, really interesting, and not necessarily a political debate, you know, on whether it should be legal or not.
Just
or,
a history,
you know, where that is, but just how it has affected, you know, civilization and throughout time and how it has evolved into, you know, where it is now.
All right. Thanks, Aaron.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. Bye. Jason in Chippewa Falls. Hi.
Hey. My suggestion is just kind of the future of funding for individuals who are developmentally disabled. With all the changes going on now with healthcare, they're kind of smack dab in the middle of what's going on. Now, counties used to manage the funds to pay for the services. Now I think all but two counties have switched to what are called MCOs. It's kind of like a third person or, you know, a middleman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really it was supposed to save money and, you know, to help bring better care. But from what we've seen, it has really gone the opposite way. Cost more and created less care for the individuals. So an individual who you might have on, maybe the president of one of the MCOs, one is Paul Cook from Community Health Partnership, or any of the other MCO.
Okay.
And just thought it'd be an interesting topic with all the healthcare stuff going on.
Okay, to get a better understanding of all of it. Thank you, Jason.
Yes, thank you.
Uh-huh, bye. Brian in Madison, hi.
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 Hi. I would like you to have a topic on the sociological effects of being a black male in Wisconsin.
It's fairly broad. What are you getting at, being a black male?
How it affects the socialization, as far as educational systems, and, you know, just the overall achievement of black males being in the social setting that we're in.
Which is, I'm trying to get it how it needs to be narrowed, you know what I'm saying? You're talking about a huge topic.
I guess looking at the educational system.
Educational system?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much. Segregation of educational system, disparity in test scores, et cetera, certainly an issue we've discussed, but an important one, and we can talk about it again. Thank you, Brian. Well, that's it for our open line for the month of June. If you didn't get through, or if your thought is coming to you at 10:05 instead of 9:05, here's how you get a hold of us. Our email addresses are, mine is Dunk, D-U-N-N-K. Chrissy is P-E-A-S-E. Rhonda's is F-A-N-N-I-N-G. And then you just put it all at WPR.org. And we do seriously look at your suggestions. And many of them have found their way on the air, as will some of today's suggestions. So thanks very much. News is coming up, and we'll return on the Ideas Network.